kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
So here we are, Kings of Freedom, for part two of this special series on how to own and express anger the conscious kingly way. And from the wave of feedback, I've had direct personal messages coming through to me throughout the week since the publishing of the first of the series. It's hitting home with a lot of guys around the world, this message, this topic of learning and reconnecting with our capacity to communicate anger consciously in a way that's healthy. Today is, I sort of playfully said it last week, it's like this is the juicy stuff, and last week was really important. It's so important to actually, you know, if this is your first episode here, in episode one we did a deep dive on understanding the origins of anger issues, and it's really important to get to the universal human source of your story, of, if you want to call it an issue or an inner challenge that you have with anger. It sort of came upon the two paths we spoke about. One way is manifestation of sort of the bully shadow, hyperinflated shadow, warrior shadow, and then the victim path. And there's no right or wrong, as always in these conversations about deep inner masculine work. There's no right or wrong. We fucking decisively hack morality out of the topic, out of the conversation. Morality is the greatest mother of all fuck-ups when it comes to getting in the way of deep inner work and supporting yourself in revealing your true self, because society at large, well, I could do an episode just on that, the ruinous nature of morality. That to decide, today we're talking about solutions. Solutions, solutions, solutions. And I one thing I love about the masculine way of being that I love in myself, and is, you know, we love the masculine heart comes alive so much when we figure out where we're at. We're at A, we want to get to B, set the wheels in motion, find the solutions, and get going. I want to get to B. Okay, so today is very much about wherever you're at, wherever your situation is at point A. That's honored, that's beautiful, that's lovely. Whatever your relationship is with anger, if you have been more expressing it in the outward explosive nature, or you feel more that you need a bit of support in actually getting the fire going and reconnecting with that you're more, as I expressed last week, episode one, more the nice guy, more the sullen guy in the background, that you just never really light that fire. You never light the fuse. You never, you know, growl any bit of a boundary. So wherever you're at, your point A, that's honored. Today is about getting to a point B. It's an introduction to the path to getting to a point B, and this is a lifelong practice. Like any great inner training, it's a lifelong practice. Slowing down to speed up here at the beginning is just to set expectations. You know, in any powerful conversation between powerful men, and I know you're listening in, you're powerful, magnificent men, it's very important to set an agreement between expectations, because sometimes when there's an expectation of a miraculous breakthrough of, you know, I'm just going to learn all of these solutions and then I'm going to be able to implement them, you know, tonight when I go home, whatever, or in work, I'm going to have anger the issue, it's going to be a non-issue after this episode. Well, if that's an expectation of yours, I honour that. Probably, you know, this warrior part of you just wants to fucking nail this topic. And I have that warrior heart too. I want to, like, just grapple a topic to the ground, master the goddamn thing, and come out the far side as possible. And yet so many times, well, I speak for myself, I've been humbled. Humbled again and again and again, because it takes deep inner work and training and practice. In line with this, I quote Sun Tzu from The Art of War. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. I speak that wisdom into the space because this is about warrior training. Think about the samurai warriors, think about ninjas, think about modern day Navy SEALs, SAS, whatever it is, the warriors. It can be the warrior going into the octagon, UFC. It's all about the training. You train with intensity, you practice with intensity and repetition, so that when you go into the arena, you're so prepared, you're comfortable, you're fine. And I speak to you in this, in becoming the victorious warrior that wins first in practice and in training, what that allows you, and this is an essence that I speak to in deep men's inner work, that's especially important to integrate and learn with practice to deepen your capacity to embody this, is moving away from the hard man front. And there can be the hard man front that is that hyper warrior dominant force that has, like, just instantaneous setting of boundaries even before there's any touching base, what the real story is with the person in front of them. But there is equally a hard emotional front on the nice guy and the sullen guy that never seems to set a boundary. Because the hard front in that case is more, it's an emotional hard front. That man, like myself, I more was that, was, we end up stop feeling. And that's what I'm pointing to with the hard front. In this, I'm not taking away from your badass competitive nature that you want to win, you know, this powerful part. I'm not talking about the strength in you. But within deep men's work, shift more from the hard front that is there, but it's brittle, and we sort of know it's brittle, and that's why it needs to be made into fucking, like, 20-inch reinforced concrete cement that protects this inner child that was hurt. Episode 1 goes into this in depth. The hurting inner child, that's what the hard outer front is there to protect. So it's in honouring the hurting inner child, in honouring whatever strategies you've used up until now. The invitation is more and more to start looking at, in this training that I will introduce you, in the solutions and in the rituals and the practices that I will just give voice to, the essence that you're looking to progressively embody is how to embody a soft front with a strong spine. The word soft can be so provocative and so, it can bring up so much resistance within modern men, because we've been trained, we've been conditioned that soft is weak. Soft, I mean, it engenders this feeling of the weakling. Soft, I mean a soft cock. You want to be fucking hard to penetrate the world with force. Soft, limp, no fucking way am I doing that word or inviting that word into my life, into my paradigm, into my mind. No way. I get that and I honour that. There again, this is a powerful, open conversation. And the reason why this word can be so provocative, it's all down to conditioning. Yet the reminder is that here at Kira, Kings of Freedom, is tapping into the kingly wisdom. To that end, just setting a little bit of context, context is very powerful. Think of Bruce Lee. You know, be like water, Lee taught his students. He didn't say be like cement. You know, water, movable, there's motion, it's fluid. And there's where the massive strength and the power is. You know, was Bruce Lee soft as in weak? No. Was he soft as in flexible and supple and ultra fast and ultra responsive? Absolutely. Did he have a weak spine? Fuck no. He had one of the strongest spines and core wisdom embodied as a man. That's what I'm opening and inviting you into looking to embody, the true warrior in you. So tapping in to the solution field, the first major thing in finding solutions for anger, in your capacity to control that anger into more explosive manifestations and then just channel and get it going, is to accept anger is healthy. Anger is simply the emotion behind boundary setting. It's the emotion, energy in motion, that gives motion, supports you in saying no, in setting a boundary. It's healthy. The distinction, just building a thread with episode one, but an important reminder here if this is your first time, and then repetition is mastery. It's always an important thing to remind the mind of these key concepts. The distinction I draw your attention to is it anger I'm expressing here, or is this an aggressive outburst? This is key. Anger can be, and it can be a super intense feeling, but if it's just anger that you own and you feel within yourself, well, that's just pure anger. There has been a perceived boundary overstepped, and you feel this feeling. Anger. Pure anger. Conscious anger. Anger, healthy. An aggressive outburst, it's, you see the cause of the anger being the other person, being the situation. And the outburst is, it's like an attack mode against this person. This person has caused your anger. And what happens in that expression, it feeds the feeling and the perception that this person or this situation is the cause of your anger, is the cause of your feeling so bad within you, these intense emotions. The only solution that is revealed to you and to your mind is you attempt to change the behavior of others. I ask you this, how is that working out for you? You know, in your anger, your express anger, in your repeated trying to take ownership of your right and making the other person wrong, how's that working out for you when you continually, if you find that this is a pattern, and remember, if it happens two or more times, it's already a pattern. You know, if you're attempting to change the behavior of your wife, your queen, your goddess, your loved ones, your kids, your people at work, you know, your neighbor, people at the local club, because you're angry and you're just like, they're wrong, their behavior should change. How's that working out for you? How are those relationships thriving and blossoming? And do you find yourself repeatedly experiencing this outburst, but you know, just how functional is that? Now, at this point, if you're sort of feeling, well, you know, you're always in the right and sort of fuck them, and you know, they are the assholes in the world and they have to change their behavior, that's okay too. I'm not here actually to try and change you. This is really important. You know, whatever perspective you hold, if that is actually working for you by your perception, go knock yourself out. If you're happy doing it, if it's working for you, I'm happy for you. The second part is, for me, in my experience and the experience in working with guys in deep inner masculine mastery work, is seeing and feeling anger in a way that you take 100% ownership of it. It's the king's path. In this path, instead of seeing anger and seeing other people as being the cause of your anger, I invite you to start seeing that the person in front of you or the situation that has triggered your anger is more revealing anger that's in you. It's revealing something from the jar of secrets within you. It's not a jar of shit. I've said that in another podcast, Masculine Feminine. It's not a jar of shit. It's not something that's wrong about you. It's not something that's this intense emotion that comes through. It's just a jar of secrets. That when anger is revealed, it's revealing a truth about you. It's actually, it's you can become really passionately interested in what the anger is teaching you. Anger is teaching you, and it's revealing a truth about what you feel is acceptable and not acceptable. What it is that you want, what are your values, is revealing what your values are. Because if somebody oversteps your values and oversteps your identity, you'll feel anger. So you start consciously looking and becoming curious about when anger comes, that this, the person in the situation is revealing anger that is in you, not causing your anger. This helps you put the focus on owning 100% of the experience. In case you're wondering, and in case there's a reactive part of your mind going, well, this is just, well, hold on, I'm never going to be expressing fucking anything. Is Mark saying I have to own it to the point which, you know, it's mine and there's nothing to express or to communicate with others? No, that would be suppressing anger. So just to nip that one in the bud. But it's an important foundation to come from that kingly conscious. Remember, the king archetype is the witnessing awareness. It's the seat of conscious presence that we are. Masculine mastery, the masculine conscious practice, is sitting as the witnessing awareness, is practicing embodied consciousness, which is otherwise known as presence. So you start seeing the revealing anger and holding space for it. I want to speak into the space. I'm going to go more broad first in a more training practice and suggested rituals as an approach to a holistic sort of a macro solution for helping anger and your warrior. It's a practice of the warrior archetype. It's allowing this warrior, intense, beautiful, strong, powerful energy flow through you unapologetically without any shame. That's actually the main point of the rituals. So it's more to come from a macro response. And then, and I consciously say then and only then, I'm going to do an introduction to sort of a structured approach when you're in the fire, when anger has been lit up within you, anger has been revealed within you, triggered within you, and then how do you structure your practice within a conversation to express it to another person or a group of other people in a conscious way that's going to be most conducive to a beautiful deepening connection and a developing trust with the other person rather than being destructive. That comes at the end, because it's like the victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. If you pretend to just jump in with a bunch of mental concepts into a heated conversation and then win, you know, you're fighting a losing battle. The general macro whole life approach is key, first and foremost, to build a foundation that when you find yourself in the conversation, the situation of conflict that anger has already lit up, your nervous system has been prepared in training for that moment. So it's just a conscious nod to that point. So having built a foundation that anger, and indeed, and we're playing with words, you know, aggressiveness is actually a core part. Aggressiveness is a beautiful thing, is a beautiful aspect of the warrior archetype. there again, not to mix up words. Words are useful as signposts, you know, but there's so much confusion can happen with words. There is a conscious part of aggression as well, of, you know, expressing that in a way that doesn't hurt others. You know, if you express an emotion or an aspect of your being consciously that is healthy and conducive to you being healthy, happy, and expressing your fullest being, whilst, you know, keeping everybody else in your environment safe, that's okay. That's a conscious part of you. It's only when we sort of overstep the boundaries of others in trying to protect ourselves that it becomes an issue. The invitation now is to take a whole life look at rituals that I believe, from my own experience and from many men around the world practicing these rituals in deep coaching, they work. Now, I don't say they work that you have to do them all. You know, find what your unique way is. I'm going to go quite general, so it's quite open. In this and in many episodes, actually one specific feedback from a guy was, and it was actually one of the best feedbacks the teacher in me could get. He's like, Mark, it really opened your mind, the podcast episode, and he's listened to a few more since then. He's like, but I find myself, I get to the end of the episode and I've more questions that I want answers to than I have answers. Brilliant. This is about opening the mind. I read a quote there yesterday that says, mind is like a parachute. It only functions when it's open. So if you end up at the end of this with more questions that you seek answers to, that's a sign of an open mind that has re-triggered this natural childlike curiosity and creativity at the core of you to find solutions. That's wonderful. I don't intend to give you all the solutions. I intend to open doors through which you can consciously choose to step through the ones that feel right to you and investigate further. One of the key rituals that is so important for learning to own and consciously express your anger, but indeed any topic as a man, is kingly connection. The support of brotherhood. To this, in my own personal experience, in the last year and a half, you know, having noticed that things were not going very well in my marriage, my marriage was a mirror of my inner life, I was forced in very dramatic circumstances. I won't go into them. I'll go into them in another specific episode on the topic. But in highly dramatic, psycho-emotional, challenging times that my marriage had, the challenge reveals the amount, the depth of inner work I just had to do as a man to be able to step up as a man that was safe to be around, that was a man that was conscious and emotionally connected and conducive to helping create a happy family environment and deep connection with those that I intimately love so much here, my queen and my two girls. One of the most important things that I did was I joined two men's groups, and on a weekly basis I would have this practice of, you know, joining with these conscious brothers and getting to express emotionally where I was at, getting to express the deepest challenges that were really keeping me up at night, my massive challenge in expressing emotions and what the fuck was that all about. I had no training, I had no support in developing the emotional connection. I had that hard outer front that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, and was learning to reconnect with the soft front that could be vulnerable, that could be honest in the space with other men, where I had learned, and so many men in modern culture have learned, you know, to put the hard outer front, the confident outer front, the I've got all my shit sorted outer front, that's the hard front, it's a facade, whilst on the inside I was experiencing all these massive inner challenges and inner emotional psychological turmoil where I just didn't know how to fit in with life. I didn't know how to live my truth. I didn't know how to set boundaries. Massive anger that wasn't being expressed on this topic, allowing the first wave, the second wave, the third wave, the tenth wave of anger bubbling away to the point in which such inner resentment was created that it came out all in a tsunami, thus being creating this such an unhealthy, destructive communication pattern in my relationship that was eroding. It was eroding the connection, my deep intimate relationship, and in my parenting with my beautiful girls. So the kingly support, the brotherly conscious support of powerful men that could hold space and a non-judgmental space, that's what I'm creating, we're creating in the movement of Kings of Freedom Online, where there's brotherly support, where you can go and in entering that arena, you can feel safe that wherever your point A is, you might have this desire to get to a point B, but you're going to be honored, accepted, and yeah, just accepted for your full magnificence in wherever your point A is, wherever your starting point is, in a completely non-judgmental way. This is so, so key. Because in modern life, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but like we tend to lone wolf it as men. This outer facade, and we lone wolf the inner challenge, we lone wolf it. Depending on the magnitude of the felt issue that and challenge that unconscious expression of anger is having in your life, you know, it can be really particular intimate support that may be necessary, and you might be called to that in the terms of coaching. Coaching is what I do, is to go really deep into the origins, into the real specifics of it to support you. I put that out as well because, there again, the lone wolf. I want to fucking do it all. Like the confident man, the real powerful man should have his shit sorted out and know how to deal with it on his own. Every single Olympian, every single, well, most CEOs in the world, the vast majority of peak performers have coaches. You know, every single man that steps into the octagon in UFC or in the jiu-jitsu mats around the world, they have coaches. Every single one of them have coaches, and the best of the best will have several coaches for every key aspect, key challenge they face on their path to becoming the best. So, you know, I speak that. You want to become the best version of yourself? Very often, coaching is and can be a profound support to allowing you unlock your greatest potential and help you see the blind spots that you just can't see. Kingly support. Every king in every story, the king has a magician there in the court, and the magician is the supportive, you know, wisdom there that just probes the king and helps him see where aspects of the kingdom, the challenge in front of the king that the king can't see. And he also has a jester in the court. Think of the jester that jibes, that pokes fun at the king. The jester's role is to poke at the blind spots that the king can't see, but the jester had the permission. He was the one person that had the permission to make these witty songs and jokes in front of everybody that helped the king stay humble. Humble, humiliated, hummus. Help the king remain grounded. Hummus is ground. It's the ground of the truth of his being. Grounded in his magnificence, but knowing that he still was human. This is powerful, and this is really important to make sure that you have brotherly support on your path as a man. The second ritual, and tapping into ritual, the word ritual comes from the Latin ritu, which means that which is proven to work. You know, what I'm actually saying here is sort of a lot of common sense in it, that your mind can go, well, duh, like that's obvious. But I point to the king in you, and the king in you creates a kingdom creator, a conscious kingdom creator, has a short list, a short concise list of high leverage habits, aka also rituals, that he organizes his entire life around. So it might seem like common sense, and in many senses it is. There's nothing really new in what I'd be saying. Yet, until you have integrated these as rituals, that which is proven to work, you've seen the cause and effect, you know, oh, brotherly support. Well, duh, that's obvious. You know, when I go off with the guys on a camping weekend, I come back feeling great. But until you have integrated brotherly support on a weekly basis, as a systematized part of your being, as a part of your life, well then, you know, it's not going to be of ultimate impact for you to support you. It needs to be integrated into the system, into your the ecosystem of your life, as a regular, dependable part that can help you digest and help you express. That's the importance of ritual. So, the second, another obvious one from experiential know-how that I believe every single man, you know, touch base with yourself, can, does your experience testify to this? But getting into nature more often, as often as possible. You know, in the busyness of modern life, and it's easy for me this point, you know, I'm living in rural Roscommon, Ireland. I just step outside my back door. There's trees, fields, birds, farmland. There's a wilderness. You know, it can be a bit more challenging, I appreciate, within town, a town environment, a corporate setting during the day, you know, like whatever it is. But setting aside conscious time, scheduled time, preferably on a daily basis, if at all possible, even just for a few minutes where you allow your psyche, allow your being, get out into nature. If I think spontaneously of some of the greatest, not even the greatest in a sense of they're better than us, but like the most well-known masculine conscious heart warriors. Think of the likes of Jesus, of Buddha. There's going to be many examples. And I say this in the context sort of outside of religious connotations. You know, I speak to the king in you if I mentioned or have not mentioned, you know, your masculine, the teacher, spiritual teacher from the religion that you might associate with. I bring this into the conscious language of brotherhood. You know, to go beyond religious boundaries and see these as conscious men on the path, spiritual heart warriors that showed an example to us. If you think of Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights in the middle of the city. No, in the middle of the desert. He went into nature to face the devil within himself. You think of Buddha, and in the middle of the city? No. Under the, was it called the Bodhi tree? Sat in nature. In nature. You know, you probably just think back to examples, recent examples, or growing up, you know, when were the times when you felt most at peace with yourself? When are, do you have memories? Do memories come up, recent and long past memories, childhood memories, of times when you're out in nature? Times that you felt at peace, where you just, it was just you. The wind, the trickle of water of a stream near your home and river, the stillness of a pond or lake in front of you. Maybe the incredible, if you're beside the sea or the ocean, the gush and the intensity of the waves, looking or listening to birds. Just as I say that, I can hear the cheeps of the birds outside. I don't know if the microphone picks that up. But just being in nature. The stillness of nature, and indeed sometimes the movement of nature, but there's a peace, there's an order, there's a harmony that is present that naturally we tap into. And reconnecting with nature becomes a deep spiritual practice that can be really conducive to, on a regular basis, as regularly as possible, allow your nervous system to sort of come home to itself. The one thing I'd say here is, like, you know, sometimes guys will say, oh, well, I get into nature often, you know, I go for my jog in nature. My question would be, well, do you have anything in your ears at the time? Oh, yeah, I listen to, you know, I listen to Pumping Tracks and... And it's like, I'm not, there's no right or wrong, you know, if that's what helps you in your jogging and your exercise and that, that's okay. But I just say, it's like sometimes when we go into nature, it's the silence of it. It's to make sure that you're not having too overstimulation through the ears. The only thing I could think of, like, you know, that would be of really deep value for you as you go into nature is listening to Kings of Freedom podcast. I'm kidding, of course. Well, of course, if you want to listen to that, it's always going to be of service. Apart from joking about that, really, I just invite you that at least sometimes, when you go into nature, you could be walking your dog or just in nature going for a walk, just be conscious to allow yourself actually submerge and marinate your nervous system in the full atmosphere of nature. And sometimes, having something pumping beautiful music, high music, motivational music, podcasts in your ear all the time mightn't allow the full marination into the atmosphere that nature is there available to you. The third part is the warrior workout. The warrior workout, the focus of the warrior workout, and this is where the subtleties can come in. The warrior workout, the essence of it that you're looking for is whatever activity, sporting endeavor, fitness endeavor, doesn't have to be sporting, but whatever an activity that allows you express, empty yourself of this pent up anger, frustration, the inner turmoil, that you channel it into the activity. But that the end result and the process allows you repeatedly train your nervous system to come home to a soft, flexible and flowing energy within your nervous system and body. It's really key here. Sometimes guys will say to me, it's like, oh yeah, I work out. Then when you get to the subtleties of how to work out, it's like this explosive workout in the gym where it's high impact and it's building muscle and it's about, you know, the expression of being strong and powerful, and can actually unwittingly tap into actually feeding that hard outer shell. I go for a run, but it's like it's a real massively competitive inner run where they push. I don't have anything against the push, the competitive nature of you. I'm actually, there's a really competitive warrior in me. I love that part, and that part, consciously channeled, can create epic shit in the world. So I'm not negating that part. Yet, getting back to, you know, the high-end martial arts artists, thinking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's the higher the goal, the softer they are, and the softness allows the flexibility, allows the quickness, allows the total presence to what's happening in their scenario, so that they, in a microsecond, they can respond with lightning speed to the situation. They don't have this hard front, this stiff front, this energy, totally inefficient, you know, where there's a lot of tension and there's fear there. No. When fear is to the side and there's a fearless presence there, that's where the soft, flexible front comes. So, the warrior workout, think about, you know, martial arts. Think about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Think about the likes of yoga. A lot of guys, you know, new to the idea, will resist it. It can seem like, well, that's just a woman's practice. Profound practice. I think of Conor McGregor. I believe he was doing yoga in his martial arts UFC preparations. Flexibility, bringing home that be like water element that Bruce Lee taught. Another powerful idea is journaling, shadow journaling. Coming to reveal within yourself the origin of your shadow, the part that every man, you know, Jesus went into the desert for 40 days, 40 nights. That was a shadow investigation work of his inner shadow, the devil within himself, the unconscious within him. So it's a practice of revealing the shadow within you, parts that you suppressed unconsciously when you were younger, parts of your being that you just sort of locked away that felt inappropriate. On the topic of anger, it can be you may have locked away your capacity to say any no or to set any boundaries, to own and set boundaries around your identity. Shadow journaling helps you understand more your inner critic, that part that every guy has, and rarely we talk about it, but every guy will have an inner critic. Sometimes a guy will say, it's like, well, I don't have an inner critic, but you'll find that to be very, very judgmental of other people. That's just a projection from the inner critic. And there's no point revealing the origin of shadow and starting to understand the inner critic if you don't learn and journal on ways of integrating the hidden wisdom. Some examples, just to give you some practical examples, obviously there's like almost infinite creative ways that you can journal on shadow, but maybe bringing home more to journaling on anger. Like some prompts could be, you know, my father's expression of anger was, fill in the gap. What was your anger, your father's anger? How would you put that into words? How would you describe it? How would the 4-year-old you describe it? 6-year-old you describe it? How did you experience that? What did you observe? What are the details? What was his behaviors? My mother's anger was. Do the same. Maybe another prompt is like, conflict in my house was. ... Fill in the gap. Now, just answering that in by itself isn't really of massive benefit to supporting you and revealing some useful data for your current situation. When you fill in that, you can start making bridges. How is my answer about my father, about my mother, about my observations of how conflict was dealt with in my house growing up? How is that similar to how my house deals with conflict now? My family that I have played a 100% role in creating and co-creating. How is my father's expression, my perception of my father's expression of anger, how is that similar to me? Is it remarkably the same, or have I taken a moral high ground and went to the polar opposite? But it's nonetheless it's useful or healthy and constructive way to express it. But I've just went to the polar opposite, or the polar opposite of your mother's, or highly like your mother's, whatever it is. You start revealing a truth and you start having parts where you can go, ah, okay, you start linking the dots. Another idea. Breathwork is a profound, it's the fifth idea here. Breathwork is a really profound practice to use as a man in all levels. Deep conscious masculine mastery, from a neurophysiological point of view, is mastery of the nervous system. Been known for millennia within yoga traditions and many spiritual traditions that mastery of breath is mastery of life energy, and it's thus mastery of the inner world and life. When you are overcome with anger, you, me, any man is overcome with anger. Anger has its a sort of a characteristic fight or flight type breeding response and pattern. It's rapid, it's shallow. You know, it's like there's a lot of tension built up in it. You might just touch base with the last time that you had an explosive outburst, or that if you can touch base with a memory of a feeling of anger coming upon you, how was your breathing at that time? You're just touching base with your own story and your own experiential know-how. Then breathwork, and this is the training of breathwork, you know, anything that brings a calming into your breath, slowing the breath down, deepening the breath. There's breath work, there's heart coherence type breath work, box breathing, breathe in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four, and repeat. Any breath work practice and training that helps you start being able to establish a pattern, a conscious pattern, and take ownership and marinate your nervous system in a control, in a channeling of that energy. Also, training that prolongs the out-breath. You know, if you breathe in for four and out for seven, for example, the breath in sparks off the sympathetic, the fight or flight nervous system. The breath out triggers the parasympathetic, the rest, digest part, the relaxation part. So training your nervous system to prolong the out-breath can be a real key training mode to help you, with practice, bring that mode of breath work to moments when you need it most. When you feel the massive tension, the tsunami of anger, the tsunami of the emotion coming through, that you can come to rely upon the practice of that. We'll talk about the, as you deal with conflict in the arena of conflict, how you can use breath work. I could go so many places with breath work, but like so many of these topics, it's to open the door, not to give you the full description of it. We could do 10 episodes. I mean, you could just have a podcast. There are podcasts just on breath work itself. So just to say, you know, it's there's a wonderful field of investigation there. But definitely bringing a daily ritual, forming a habit of doing, you know, just even 5-minute, 10-minute pockets of breath work in your day really helps start training your nervous system to be more emotionally responsive in the moment. Another key ritual is what I call the primal no practice. There's a warrior in you. There's a warrior in me. There's a warrior. There are warrior traditions in every single culture around the planet. And so there should be. It's a healthy expression of masculinity. It's the core archetype. At the core of masculinity is the warrior archetype. The primal no practice is regrounding, reconnecting with a practice of saying no. And it can be as much as just saying, it's like, at times, you know, last week, I had one moment where there was just a lot of things. It was hot and heavy. There was a lot of stuff happening. And I was actually quite on top of it. I was quite happy with myself in how I was, you know, riding the wave of it. But then I was like, I slowed down. I checked into myself and was like, hold on, there's a charge there. And there was a charge of anger. I felt like there was way too much being put on my shoulders, or I hadn't set enough boundaries and I had unwittingly taken too much on my shoulders that day. So a primal no practice came through. I was like, just go up to the bedroom, have my big massive cushion that is on to the side of the bed, grab it, lie down in the bed, stick my face in it, and the primal no practice is just unleashing no, and allowing come true maybe some language, you know, where it's like, depending, it wasn't so live that day, but it's like if there was somebody or some situation, to fuck the situation out of it, to empty the primal no, to allow that massive tsunami of anger that's behind the no to just flow through me unapologetically, unashamedly. So this can be a real key practice to start regularly, if you feel anger building, to, in a healthy way, allow yourself in solitude to express that. The little asterisk I put is, you know, if like in my own life, you're unconscious, no right or wrong, morality to decide, but if your unconscious, untrained expression of anger has created an unsafe environment where people don't feel safe to be around you in moments as a result, I invite you to let them know. let them know that, hey, I'm trying out this new way of just allowing this anger expressed through me. My whole intention is that, you know, I can become a safer, more conscious man to be around. So I'm playing with this to allow this through, because if you sort of lone wolf it and you just do it without telling anybody and then they hear you, it can be really fucking triggering for them to hear that there's that level in you. They might get, you know, they might receive that, but when they hear it. So to allow them know that this is you stepping up consciously into your king power is a very important part in the process of learning to integrate anger and express it consciously. Slowing down to speed up for a moment. Final idea is psycho-emotional check-ins. What the fuck is a psycho-emotional check-in? It's an emotional check-in, a body check-in. At the core of men's work, check-ins are one of the core practices at the beginning of most men's groups that I'd run and coaching men. Very regularly, if not always, do a check-in. That's simply the practice of taking a minute, 2 minutes max, closing your eyes, and touching base with what your body is feeling, what's live to be felt, to be experienced in your body at that moment. At its most simple and rudimentary level, it's you just report, you can journal in front of you, you can speak it out. If you're doing it in practice with somebody else, you know, it can actually be a really powerful practice to integrate this with your queen, with your partner. You report first what physical sensations are present for you. Oh, I've a real sore neck and I've a real fluttery tummy. You know, I feel a hardness in my chest. It's very stiff. Then, with practice, this is the thing, as always, with practice, you touch base intuitively and speak what emotion might be underlying that physical sensation. I know myself in this practice in the beginning, I found it very challenging and provoking of my inadequacy, of what I perceived to be my total lack of emotional intelligence. When I was in the presence of other guys in men's groups and they were so present with their bodies, I was like, fuck, I don't even know what I'm fucking feeling. I can barely report back physical sensations, but to then link emotions with it. You know, to be kind with yourself. It's like if you go to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu session for the first time, you're not expecting to be throwing some guy into a triangle. You know, you can expect that they're going to throw you into 40 triangles and tap you out a million times. That's okay. It's a practice. It's a new practice. But it's just learning to go underneath the hard outer core and start connecting with the soft, expressive, emotional part of our being. I'm going to do a deeper episode on this and maybe many of these topics to bring you deeper. That's enough for now, but especially in this one, it's a practice. And with any practice or training, it gets better with time. So, quick recap there, the rituals. These are the ones that it's from the outside in. It's like your broad, outer, holistic, whole life approach to allowing your psyche have this expression of the warrior archetype in you. Kingly connection, support with brothers, you might query the coaching, get out into nature as much as possible without massive stimulation in the ears. Warrior workouts, touching base with that sort of reconnecting with that soft and flexible flowing energy, not recreating that hardness. Journaling, shadow journaling, learning to know your inner world that little bit better, always going deeper. Breath work. Slowing down the out-breath, regaining your inner mastery, the control of the life force within you and your inner world. The primal no practice, let it rip, but in a safe way, a controlled way. And then emotional bodily check-ins. So now this is getting to, if you've ticked all of those boxes or whatever appropriate boxes for you and progressively you lean more into it. Now just to speak a bit on you're in the conversation. The anger has come live. What then? I repeat what I said in episode 1. The metaphor of waves. This was most important in my life. When I realized a pattern for me was because of my anger being shamed as being wrong, I felt perceived growing up, I learned to sort of suppress that because I unconsciously just thought that it's wrong. I'm not a good man to express anger. So the first wave would be hidden, suppressed, repressed. Second wave, third wave, tenth wave, maybe on some topics, hundreds of waves until all the waves and all the different topics come together, and then it would be boom, explosion time. The tsunami would come through then. I bring your attention to the practice here is what I call first wave focus. Taking 100% inner ownership in your capacity to create as a co-leader in, if you're in a family, to create a safe, emotionally grounded, expressive kingdom for all the people in your beautiful kingdom, and indeed it can also be called your queendom. It's king and queendom here. To make sure that that's emotionally safe for everybody that's there, first wave focus is what I'd invite you for on this. So within that context, when you start practicing first wave focus, you know, you express anger when it's not at the tsunami level, so thus it's easier. It's way easier when you practice like this. You're not waiting for the 10th one. In actual fact, if you wait for the 10th one, it's going to be really hard to practice what I'm about to say here. So it's a context of practice, remember, again and again. So you find yourself in the situation. Boom! Anger. Whatever has been triggered in you. The person in front of you, as you perceive, has overstepped a boundary. Perceived, might be real, might be just a triggered thing from the past, whatever it is. But you feel this wave of anger present in your body. Check in with your posture. Is your posture tensing up? Is your posture, can you feel that this, there's a wave of righteousness coming through you, that it's almost like the finger is about to start pointing. You're about to speak, but your posture, your physical body is in this hard outer, that the finger's up, that the fists are clenched, that the jaws are tight, that you're leaning towards the person. You might even be stepping towards them. You're on an attack mode. You're leaning in. That's leaning in, or it's about to. If you allow that to go unconsciously, there's an aggressive outburst coming because it's attacking the person. That person is not safe and there's a hard outer shell with you. So, remain grounded in your posture. Consciously remain free of an attacking posture. That's going towards the person offensively. Your posture, and the opposite is, don't retreat either. You know, if you have a sacred no, anger is coming through, ground yourself, be ready to have your roots in the ground and learn to stand in your truth. In Kings of Freedom, we say, in your truth you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. You are enough to be able to be rooted there in your full magnificence and power. No retreat. Your posture is there. Sit open. Sit facing the person with an open posture. What I mean by that, relaxing the face, relaxing the jaws, that the teeth aren't clenched together with all this buildup of tension. Open chest, facing towards them, hands down on your laps. Sometimes I even put my left hand on my heart and my right hand on my tummy. Just helps me emotionally ground and actually supports my nervous system. It's like by just putting a little bit of like 2-3 pound pressure on my tummy and my heart, It's like those parts of my being start feeling supported. Become conscious of your posture, that you're not folding the arms, you're not doing that attacking or retreating sort of postural modes. You're just there, you're present. Then, and this can be in rapid succession, I'm describing it sort of systematically here, this can be in rapid succession, just to be aware of. Then touch base with your breath. Is it in that, are you holding the breath a lot? Is it rapid and shallow? Wherever your breath is, consciously just start practicing. You know, you've been doing your breathwork ritual habit. Start practicing slowing the breath down, deepening the breath. The anger that can be the fire in the belly, start breathing down to it, allowing that energy to flow, to permeate your being so you can use it in your full conscious and safe expression, rather than letting that fire lock down there. It's intense, but the more you harden, the more you feel the discomfort of it, it'll end up being expressed in an unhealthy way. So breathe down deep, slowing the breath down, become conscious. As you become conscious of your breath, you become conscious of what's happening in your body. This allows and becomes conducive to you actually owning what's happening within you. A really important thing can be to just lead vulnerably and openly. Remember, it's the conscious anger is the person is not causing your anger. They're revealing an anger in you. It's to just simply express. I'm just feeling this anger in me right now. I know myself, there's, when I started communicating like this in the presence of my queen Matilda, she actually found it quite challenging, because there was 11 or 12 years of me unconsciously dumping my anger, my tsunami of anger on her. Every couple of months, sometimes in very dramatic periods, could be every couple of weeks, and my nice guy pattern, that's how it was working. So she didn't feel safe. So any mention of anger, she was really triggered. But actually rapidly she grew to feel really safe, because by me actually just owning it and not projecting, it's like, you fucking caused my anger because X, Y, or Z. I wasn't, with practice in the beginning, there was a training there for me as well. I wasn't projecting on her. I wasn't pointing that she was the cause of it. I was just presencing, there's an anger here. And just by doing that, it brings a safety for myself and a safety for her, and, you know, by extension for you in your practice, you start owning it. Then there's a structure that I like from the book, The Power of a Positive No. Fully recommend that you check that out. He structures it as a yes, no, yes. First of all, you touch base with saying yes to your inner values, yes to your identity, yes to your truth in that moment. And from there, only when you touch base with what you desire and what you touch base with what values might have been overstepped by your perception, you can say a positive no. And so long as it's in a grounded no, it's not an attack mode, you can allow yourself to consciously say, well, no, I feel like I need to set a boundary. I believe you're overstepping it. At this point, I'm perceiving that you're overstepping a boundary. And I just want to express a no to that. At this moment, it's a no from me. And then he says, wrap it up with a yes. You know, you say yes to your inner world, values, identity. Then you say you're positive, grounded, powerful, expressive, unapologetic, shame-free, no. And then you say yes to an invitation to maybe a deepening discussion on the topic, an invitation to, you know, you want to, you're curious to know more about the perspective of the person, an invitation to go for a walk, an invitation to circle back on the topic, you know, a week later, the next day, whatever it is, there's an invitation to a positive outcome. So it's a yes, no, yes. slowing down here because part of my mind, just to say it to you guys, there's so many ideas that can come through and so many parts that can be deepened. Yet, I'm just going to trust it. That's enough for now. You know, a point of the podcast, I have this deep commitment that every episode provides immense value and is of immense service to you. And yet, to make sure that the balance is kept, that it's not way too much too soon, that it's applicable, that it's the level of introduced wisdom is integratable, is digestible. You're powerful men, so I pack a lot in. But yeah, at this point, I believe let's leave it at that. There's a lot in this. As I said at the beginning, I hope it has opened up a lot of doors for you. You know, what resonates with you, take home, integrate. What doesn't resonate with you and you're like, no, that doesn't do it for me, leave behind. That's cool. The invitation is to embrace this as a whole life, solution-based orientation, as a conscious king, a kingdom creator, where you're looking at the holistic whole ecosystem of your life and how you can optimize it, not as a rapid modern life solution in 5 minutes, overnight success type approach. You know, doesn't really tend to work. It's not the kingly approach. I'm appreciating, and I just want to acknowledge you, I'm appreciating your presence here, deeply appreciating, you know, feedback, that guys just letting me know in private messages just how this is hitting home for them, what meaning it's bringing up for them. I really appreciate that because it helps me to know what is hitting home and how I can support you more, and brings up more topics for more episodes. I just want to end by acknowledging again and always acknowledge your magnificence for slowing down, for honoring yourself and being willing to listen into this episode and do your deep inner work, and to show up as the conscious heart warrior that you are. Really loving your presence, loving that, you know, you're listening in and enjoying my part of this journey. I'm enjoying my side, getting to show up in the arena in such a way. Guys, with deep bows and big love, have a beautiful day. Take care.